Good morning. Today's Daf Moed Katan is Chaf Aleph. We're here in the middle of the third parak of the Masechta. We're discussing and dealing with Avelos, Hilchos Avelos. All the Avelos comes out from this particular parak. And so we start off our Daf today with a really straightforward issue, and that is, who is the person Misabel for? So which one of the relatives is the person going to be sitting Shiva for? So Tana Rabbanan. So we jump right into the Daf today. So Kol Amar Beparshas Kohanim. So the Gemara makes the following equation, and that is that we know there's a Parsha in Parsha Zemur, the beginning of Parsha Zemur, a listing of people that a Kohen is in fact Metame for. Kohen is not allowed to become exposed to Tumas Meis, all Tumor for that matter, if he's going to eat Truma. But there's an Issur in the Torah for him not to become Tame Latame Meis. However, for one of the relatives, the Torah says, so he's going to be Tamei, and the Torah actually goes and articulates and gives us a list of the relatives that he's allowed to become Tamei for. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to become Tamei, even for those relatives. Nazir is in the same camp as a Kohen Gadol, but Tamer, a Kohen Hedger, a regular Kohen. So a Kohen has a list in the Torah of who a person is allowed to be Metamei for, and the Gemara now creates the following equation. Whoever those people are mentioned in the Torah, so not only is a Kohen allowed to be Metamei for, but a person is going to now be Miss Abel. This person is going to be sitting Shiva for that relative. Ve'eluhei. Now, who are they? So, the Gemara gives us the list. Ishto, one's wife. Aviv, Imo, mother, father, mother. Achiv, one's brother. Now, we're going to say right now, and the Gemara is going to be clear about this point as well, that when it says Achiv, it is a reference to your paternal brother. Achoso, this is going to be your paternal sister. Beno Bito, and your son or your daughter. So these are the, now we're going to call it Zayin Krovim. They're going to be seven relatives, but as we're going to see, there's going to be an expansion that was given to this list. So, and the, just in terms of how to organize the information so that you remember it, so it's two up, two across, two down, and one spouse, right? So two up, mother, father, two down, son, daughter, two across, brother, sister, and then one spouse. So those are the Zayin Krovim, the seven relatives, in which one is misabel for. However, as we just saw, the Gemara wasn't super clear about it, but it will be clear in just a moment, as we just saw that when it comes to siblings, so it's a paternal sibling that a Kohen is allowed to be metame for, which at this point in time means that it's only for a paternal sibling that you're misabel for. That's where we are right now. Hosifu aleim. But what the Chachamim did is the Chachamim added, meaning that even though the Min HaTorah, a Kohen is not allowed to become tame for a maternal for a maternal sibling, but nevertheless, a Chachamim added it to the Avelos list. Achiv achosa besulo mi'imo. So when it is one's brother or one's sister, so me'imo, even though it's only a maternal sibling, the Chachamim added that to the list. And achoso nesua bein me'aviv bein mi'imo. And also when it comes to a married sister as well. So for a married sister, again, there are two parts to this discussion. A Kohen is allowed to become tamei for a married sister, the answer is no. Once a sister is married, doesn't matter whether it's paternal or maternal, a Kohen cannot be metame for a married sister. However, the Chachamim for the Avelos list, so added the married sister. So even though she's married, so nevertheless, the brother is going to be misabel for her. And what we're really doing is that we're making two chidushim. Number one, even though for a Kohen he's not metame for a married sister, and Avel, there's going to be Avelos, that's one. And number two is that even if it's maternal, which is another reason why, in other words, for a maternal sister that's even unmarried, a Kohen's not going to be a Metame for her, but for a married maternal sister, I know it's a lot of family to keep in mind, but for a married maternal sister, now where there are two reasons where the Kohen would not be a Metame for her, but the Chachamim still added to the list. Okay, to say it simply and succinctly now, so when it comes to siblings, for Avelos, so you're misabel over any sibling, whether it be maternal, whether it be paternal, and even if the sister is married, so the Chachamim added to the list of Avelim. U'kishem, and we continue now in the Gemara, kishem shemisabelim, kach misabel, ashniyim shalahem. Now you're misabel for them, and you're misabel also one step removed. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, shitas Rabbi Akiva. So according to Rabbi Akiva, so you're going to be misabel for, let's say, as an example, an uncle. Why? Because your father obviously is going to be a direct relative to the uncle, it's your father's brother, he's going to be an Avelos for that, you're one step removed, you're also going to be an Avel for that as well, that's Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar, Eina Masaba, Ella al ben beno, o al avi aviv. So Shitas Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is that when we're talking about now one step removed, that's only going to be Ben Beno, Avi Aviv. And it seems to be running along the patriarch line. So, and only in that circumstance where it's your paternal grandfather or your, I don't know how to say this, paternal grandson. Anyway, Ben Beno, let's just say it like that. So under those circumstances, according to Rosh Hashanah and Elazar, then and only then are you misaba v'chacham emorim, kol she misaba lav misaba imo. So if you're misaba alav misaba imo, which is basically going back to the shita of Rebbe Akiva, which means to say that if you're misaba alav, let's say you would be misaba for your father, so misaba imo, so if he's an avelos, so you're going to be misaba with him. In other words, it's another way of saying that you are going to do, you are going to be observing avelos, even though it's one step removed. Okay. So in the brisa we just learned together, there are three shitas in terms of whether or not you're sitting shiva, you're observing avelos for one step removed. The shita of Rebbe Kiva, the shita of Rebbe Shimon and Lazar, and the shita of the chachamim at the end of the brisa. But if you're thinking about it right now, hopefully you're recognizing and realizing that the chachamim are repeating what Rebbe Kiva said, and that's the Gemara's very next point. Chachamim hayinu tanakama. So Ika Beinayu, the Gemara says, there is a difference between the Shita of the Chachamim and the Shita of Rebbe Akiva. So Imo Babayis, and that means to say that according to the Shita of the Chachamim, so the observance of Avelus is not because you're required to be Misabel, but it's only Imo Babayis. When you're together with them in the house. Ki Hadamalei Rav Lechiabre. The Gemara tells us the following episode. Rav said to his son Chia, right? He named his son after his uncle. So Amalei Rav Lechia Berei, Vechein Amalei Rav Huna L'Rabba Berei. So Be'apa Nahu Gavelta, Below Apa Lo Tino Gavelta. So the wives were sitting shiva. So the instructions that were given by the father to the son is that when you're in her presence, so you're going to be observing avelos, and when you're not in her presence, so then you're not going to be observing avelos. Okay, so in terms of the halachas of one step removed, so the Gemara is very clear that the one step removed is machlokus ptanayim, whether you're actually observing avelos or it's just alts kavan that you're doing so, and the amoraim tell their students, in this case their sons, that it is alts kavan, meaning that so that means to say that when you're in the presence, so you should be observing a form of avelos. And when you're not in the presence, so then you don't need to observe avelos. Okay. Comes out now that it sounds like from the Gemara's conclusion over here that one should be observing, if you're one step removed, so you should be at least observing avelos in their presence. Is that the practice nowadays? So essentially, no, it's not the practice nowadays. What happened, meaning our Gemara over here, this is pretty clear in its conclusion. So most probably what happened is that Bizman is there, so we assume that there's a Mechilas Kvodo. If you're one step removed, you're not an Oval per se, you're not observing Avelos, you're only doing so out covered, and so when anything that has to do with covered, so you could be Mochel, and Bizman is there, this goes back a long time ago, we assume that there's a certain amount of Mechila. Mar'uchav Shachav Le Bar Chamua. Gemara tells another story where Mar'ukva, so he lost his brother-in-law. It's his wife's brother, right? The way the Gemara says it, it's his father-in-law's son. Okay, so it's his wife's brother. It's his brother-in-law. So Sarva L'Meisav Ala Shiva Shloshim. So at that point in time, so obviously it's not a direct relative. It's a one-step removed relative. His wife is going to be sitting shiva. So he thinks now at this point in time, okay, he should as well. So Al Rav Huna L'Gabe Ashkache. So Rav Huna sees him now and he's observing Avelus. So I'm related to the Naisa Baisamechel. So Rav Huna makes a very sharp comment to him, and he says, what is it? You like eating? In other words, you like the Avelos food? So we know that for that first meal that you're coming home from the cemetery. So that's what's called the Suda Savra. So and you get a meal. And generally speaking, right, minig is for a long time is that you send food over to the Beis Avel. So basically, in a really sharp criticism. So Rav Huna says to him, is the issue here food? You like eating? Meaning, meyikar adin, you don't have to observe avelos. You're one step removed. Lo amru ela l'chvod ishto, ela chami v'chamoso. So look, this idea that you're observing avelos in front of your wife. So first of all, that's alts kavod. Secondly, it's not for any relative. In other words, it's only for chami v'chamoso. It's only for her father or for her mother. So the way the Gemara says it, your father-in-law, your mother-in-law. Meaning under those circumstances and only under those circumstances, is there even the husband's obligation to observe avelus is only alts kavod and only for his mother-in-law and father-in-law. That's it. So there is absolutely no requirement whatsoever for you to observe any kind of avelus whatsoever. D'tanya, and the Gemara wants to make sure that this point is going to be hammered home. And the way we're going to hammer this point is by citing two brises. The brises are going to be seemingly at odds with one another. And the yishuv is going to be that there's a difference between your mother-in-law and father-in-law versus any of the other relatives in which your wife is going to be sitting shiva for. The time here is brisa number one. Misha meis chamiv v'chamoso. So let's say, Rachmanis, your father-in-law, your mother-in-law pass away, your wife's parent, either one of your wife's parents. So any rasha lachofis isha liyos kochelas v'liyos pokeses. So you can't ask your wife, you can't demand that your wife be made up. In other words, she can go without makeup for her avelos. So ela kofen mitaso. Rather, what should you do? So what you should do is kfiyas amita. You should take your bed and you turn it over. So as we discussed already numerous times, so one of the observances of avelos is you overturn your bed. So you, the husband, right? It's one of your wife's parents. But while she's sitting avelos, so you should turn your bed over. So v'noeg ima avelos, and you should observe avelos together with her. V'chein hi shemeis chameha o chamosa ein rishalios kochelos v'lios pokeses elakofa mitasa v'noeg ima avelos. Conversely, if she were to experience a loss of a mother-in-law and father-in-law, meaning her husband, one of her husband's parents died, so she's going to be observing avelos together with him. V'tanya idach. So that's brisa number one. So brisa number one is extraordinarily clear that the husband will be observing avelos with his wife. When she loses a parent, he's going to be observing avelos. Meanwhile, here comes the second brisa. V'tanya idach. Afa bisham reina v'shalach ofis ishto. Elios kochels vilos pokesus. When the wife is in avelos, so he can't demand that she wear any kind of makeup, right? Pokesus literally means to part her hair. In other words, she's basically made up, which is a fair expectation under normal circumstances. But if she's an avel, so he can't expect it from her. So be'emes amr mozeges lo zekos masaslo mito mecheses lo panav yadav v'raglav. However, be'emes amr, that's an expression that usually means this is subject to no debate whatsoever. This is a tenet. It's something that everyone agrees to, and that is that she'll serve him. She'll mix his drink for him. She'll make his bed and she'll wash his hands, feet, and face. Right, as we get to the Gemara and Ksuvos. So these are the basic requirements of a wife to her husband. So and even though she's an avelos, but in other words, but she could still perform her basic services to her husband. So Kashina Adade, so the Gemara says, now, when you look at the first brisa and the second brisa and you put them side by side, so it's obviously it's difficult. The first brisa says that he has to honor her avelus to the full extent. That's brisa number one. And brisa number two is, okay, you can't ask her to make herself up, but she's still going to be providing basic services to her husband. So Elalav Shmamina, so Kan Bechami v'chamoso, kan b'shar krovim. So over here, so once we already knew this distinction, but now we could just plug it in to the two brises. So brisa number one is talking about where she loses a parent. So under those circumstances, so now there's an issue of kibud that you have to be mechabed her in under those circumstances and observe full avelos while you're in her presence. But meanwhile, when it's any shar krovim, when it's any the other relatives, so then there's no need for him to observe any kind of avails whatsoever. So shmamina. Okay, so the Gemara says that this way now to resolve the two brisas is going to conform to what we said before. Tanina mehachi. And one more word on this topic of brisa. And lo amru lichvod ishto ela chamiv v'chamosa bavan. The only time that you have to honor your wife and observe a form of avails together with her is only when she loses a parent. But if she loses another relative, so then the husband does not have a requirement, even al tzkavod, to observe any kind of avelos. Okay. We're in the very bottom of Chaf Amud Beis. And so up until this point in time, in today's daf, so we, number one, established who a person is misabel for, the Zayin Krovim, the connection between Tumas Kohanim and avelos, and that gets us to seven relatives. Even then, the Chachamim added a couple of more to the avelos list, that is not included in Tumas Kohanim. basically Tumas Kohanim is only limited to paternal siblings. And what the Chachamim did is they added maternal siblings, and they even added a sister who's married. Okay, that's number one. And then number two, we discussed if you're one step removed. So you're not a direct relative, but you're a direct relative to somebody who is sitting Shiva. So do you have to observe Shiva in their presence? So the answer is Machlokas Tanayim. And the Gemara's conclusion seems to be that in their presence you should. When you're not in their presence, you don't need to. And then the question of our modern practice nowadays. And then the last thing we just finished discussing is regarding spouses. It is a requirement of the husband to observe any kind of avails when his wife is in Shiva. And the same question goes in the other direction as well. So, and the distinction to be made between the loss of your in-laws versus any of your other relatives. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of really yesterday's daf. Amemar. We're on the very bottom of Chaf Amud Beis. Three lines from the bottom. Amemar Shachavlei Barberei. So Amemar lost a grandson, Rachmanus. And Kara Ilave. So he does Kriya. So it's interesting because up until this point in the Masechta, we have not discussed Kriya. Meaning that we know a component, a major component of the Avelus, and it's various Menhagim exactly when it's done. But in other words, over loss, you're Korea, you tear. So this idea of tearing, so we really haven't discussed it until this very point in time. Okay, so the obligation of Kriya is a mitzvah. Let's call it that. It will be that kind of language will pretty much be defensible over the course of today's daf. And so the Gemara gives us now a strange way to open up the discussion, but here's where it begins. So Amemar lost a grandson, so Kari Lave, so he does Kriya over the loss of his grandson. Now, obviously, he's not a formal Ovel. It's his grandson, it's not his son, but still, he does Kriya. So Asabere, so his son comes in now, and Kara Ba'ape, and he does Kriya in front of his son. So now, Tosfos over here discusses this in some detail, but presumably, the reason why he tore Kriya a second time is because the first time, right, there are a couple of ways to say it. So I'm not giving this the full treatment it deserves, which is the case most of the time in the Daf Yomi, but I just happen to know that there's a number of ways to say it. So, but let's just say it like this. The first time that he did Kriya, he wasn't doing it because he was an Avel. He wasn't. It's his grandson. So he was doing it to honor his son. But the first time he did Kriya, he was not in the presence of his son. So once he now is in the presence of his son, who is the Avel, so now he does Kriya a second time. Now, Itkar Demiyushav Kara. Now, at that point in time when he did Kriya the second time, so he did it while he was sitting. Kam Kara Me'umad. So at that point in time, he said, I didn't do Kriya correctly. Because you have to do Kriya in a standing position. And he was sitting. So therefore, he did Kriya a third time now in order to be standing. Okay, so Amemar did Kriya three times. So the first time, it was not in the presence of his son. So once he was in the presence of his son was the Avel. So then he did Kriya a second time. And because the second time, he did it only Miyusha while sitting. So therefore, he did it a third time. So no, 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 no. In other words, it's just covered for the Avel, meaning that you're a direct relative to the Avel. It seems to be similar to what we discussed earlier, that I'll cover the Avel if you're a direct relative to the Avel. So I'll cover it. So you should observe some form of Avelus.
So does he just extends the old clear, makes it longer? Is that what it is, or he makes it in the in a different place?
It sounds like from the Gemara, we're going to see a couple Gemaras later in this parak. It sounds like it's in a different place. Not today's daf, but later in the parak, the Gemara is going to be touching a little bit on your issue. So Amalei Rav Ashi La'Amemar, Kriya de Me'uman Minalan. So first of all, okay, that was a lot of assumptions that we made. And number one, we made an assumption that when you're doing Kriya, you have to be standing. Where did that come from? So Dichsiv, so the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Ani Vayakam Iyo Vayikras Me'ilam. Upon the learning of the loss of his sons, so he does Kriya. So, and the Pasuk says, Vayakam, and he stood up. Okay. So, Ela Mi'ata, so the top of Chafal from an Aleph. So, Ela Mi'ata, Amad V'Amar Lo Chafasi L'Kachta, Ha'chinami. So, let's go to the mitzvah of Chalitza. So, in the mitzvah of Chalitza, so the Torah's instructions are V'Amad, and he stood up. And now you mean to tell me that every time you see the word Vayakam or V'Amad, so that by definition means that you have to stand up. And the Gemara says, by Chalitza, we know it's simply not true. V'atanya. So let's go to a braisa regarding chalitza. Ben Yoshe, ben Omed, ben Muta. So chalitza can be done in any position. It can be in a sitting position for chalitza. You don't have to be standing. So you see that just because we see the word amad does not mean that you have to stand. So amalei hasam loksiv vaya amod vayomar. So the Gemara says, okay, but you have to read the pasuk carefully and you have to see it in the context. If the Torah by chalitza would have said vaya amod, so then fine, so that's an instruction. All right, amad just simply is a description, not an instruction. Now, by the way, that requires a little bit of subtlety and careful reading to know when the Torah is describing versus when the Torah is instructing. Okay, so I say the Gemara as if it's like a davar pashut. I'm acknowledging that I'm sure it's a difficult task to do to figure out description versus instruction. So hasam loksiv vayamod vayomar hachaksiv vayakam vayikra. By Eov it says vayakam. Now again, by Eov, I don't want to throw too many questions out, but by Eov, Eov is a description. It's not an instruction. Meaning Eov is giving us a description of what Eov did. The Gemara's understanding is that because the Navi went out of its way to phrase it in instructive terms, so therefore it is actually giving us instruction, and that you have to be standing while doing Kriya. Okay, so Rami Barchama said the same thing that we learned from Eov, that you have to be standing for Kriya. Dilma Misli Yiserehu Davad, the Gemara challenges. Okay, he did Kriya, and he stood while doing Kriya. Okay, maybe he just went a little bit above and beyond what the Torah actually instructs us to do. Meanwhile, Eov also pulled out his hair. And what are you telling me? That's a requirement? It's not a requirement. Momentarily, I'm going to ask the question, isn't that prohibited? Okay, so I'll come back to that thought in just a moment. So, Ela mehacha, vayakam amach, vayikras bagadav. So the Gemara says, okay, so leave the psukim of Eov out of this discussion. Let's go to a pasuk regarding David HaMelech. So an episode that, for whatever reason, we've gone over a number of times lately, and that is that after Amnon violates Tamar, so Avshalom kills Amnon. Okay, I'm making a long story short. So and word gets back to David HaMelech that Amnon died. Amnon is one of his sons. Not only died, but he was murdered. When the first reports came back to David HaMelech that Amnon died, so David actually got some fake news. So he was told that all of his sons died. Right? It was he was given bad reporting. So but what comes out over there is that when David learned this news, so vayakam HaMelech vayikras begadav. So he gets up and he does Kriya. So from here, so now we have a clear pasuk by David HaMelech is that there was a kima. V'dilma milsi yisera sa'avit. Again, the Gemara asks the same question, which is, I don't know, maybe David HaMelech just went a little bit above and beyond what the Torah expects. Dilo tema achi v'yishkav arza. Meanwhile, also in the same pasuk describing David HaMelech, it says that he was sitting on the floor. And hachinami, and what do you want to tell me? That an aval sits on the floor? V'atayin, the Gemara says, but that's not true. So yashan agabe mita, agabe kise, agabe udaina. And then the Girsa over here, Gedola mikulan amra afilo agabe karka, lo yasi de chavaso v'amra av Yochanan, shalokiyam kfiyas amita. There's a requirement of overturning the bed, kfiyas amita. And sleeping on a chair, on a udaina is a machteshes, right? Some sort of mortar. And anyway, the requirement of kfiyas amita means that you have to take your bed, you have to turn your bed over. And you have to sleep on an overturned bed. And if doing anything else, even if you sleep on the floor, it's not a kiyum of the mitzvah of kfiyas amita. So what do you want to tell me? That when the pasuk says by David HaMelech that he slept on the floor, what does that mean? The aval is not allowed to sleep on the floor. The aval has to sleep over on top of an overturned bed. So amrlei kein arza. So the response is no. The pasuk does not mean that he slept on the floor. It means he slept close to the floor, meaning that he took his bed, he turned it over, and he slept close to the floor. That's what the pasuk means. And so by David HaMelech, we could take the words of the pasuk literally, meaning the first part of the pasuk vayakam HaMelech vayikras begadav, he stood to do kriya. That you take literally. And as far as him sleeping on the floor, it's kein arza. That's how you understand the pasuk over there. Anyway, let's just go back for a moment. Eov tore out his hair, meaning he stood to do kriya, and he also tore out his hair. Meanwhile, the Torah says that you're not allowed to do that. In other words, over a mace. So one of the things that you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to tear out your hair over a mace. So how could he have do it? So I saw, did a little bit of research on this. So I saw a number of suggestions. The Malbim himself on the Navi, so he says that his tearing out of his hair was not over the loss of his children, but over the loss of his money, right? Not only did he lose his children, he also lost his assets as well. And so that's the Malbim's approach. There are other approaches as well. Okay. That's another approach. Okay. I saw that as well. Right, the suggestion was made over here that Eov wasn't even Jewish, which is on the table. In other words, the Gemara Baba Basra trying to give correct historical attribution. Who was Eov? When did he live? So the Gemara Baba Basra is all over the place in terms of who he was and where did he live. And so that's on the table, right? And I saw that as a suggestion. Tana Rabbanan, Elu Dvarim She'Avel Aser Bahen. Okay, so now in the list of what an Avel is not allowed to do, the prohibitions of Avelos. Now, the Gemara over here, hopefully to you, should sound redundant, because it is. Meaning, we spent an entire daf here in this third parak, already going through the 10 prohibitions of an Avel, and the 3 obligations of an Avel. So this list that we're going to be listening to right now is redundant, and not only is it redundant, but it's also a non-exhaustive list, because we already went through 13 practices of the Avel, 10 negative, 3 positive. And over here in this list that we're about to learn together, it's going to fall very short of 10. Of 13. Okay. In a moment, I'll respond to that. But meanwhile, let's see the list over here. Tana Rabbanan. Elu Dvarim She'Avel Aser Bahem, Aser Bahem Lachar, Avel is not allowed to do work, or Rechitza, Bathe of Vitzicha, putting oil on, Vitashmi Shamita, marital relations, Uni'ilas HaSandal. A Avel is not allowed to wear leather shoes, Aser Likros, Betor V'Nivim V'Ksuvim, cannot be learning Tanakh, Lishnos, Bemisha, Medra, Shavalachos, Uva Ashas, Uva Agados, cannot be learning Torah, any form of Torah Shabbal Peh. Vim Hayu Rabin Shrichim Lo, if he's needed by the public, so Eino Nimna, so then he could deliver Shir if the public needs him. Umaisa, Umais Benosha, Rabbi Yossi, Bitsi Parvin, Nechlan, Sabes, Medra, Shavadarish, Koliam Kulo. The son of Rabbi Yossi dies, but because he was always given public Shirim, so he continues giving public shir. Rabbi Bar Chana Yisrei Be'Milsa. Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Bar Chana where he's an Avel. Savad Lamepek Lepirka. So he thought, okay, so I shouldn't be giving shir while I'm an Avel. So Amale Rabbi Chanina Im Hayu Rabin Tzrichon Lo Enu Nimna. So Rabbi Chanina says, no, you give public shirim. You need to continue to do so. Savad Lukmi Amara Alea. Okay, so fine. So he figures now, let's put the microphone up. Now, back in the day, so they didn't have a microphone, but what they had was a human microphone. That's the Amora. So he'll say the shir to the Amora, and the Amora will broadcast it to the people. Amar le Rav, Tanya Vavashalo Yamitorgaman. Now, even if you are a public, even if you're giving public shiurim, and so during Avelos, so you can continue giving shiurim, however, take out the human microphone. There has to be some awareness that you are, in fact, an Avel. So exactly how do you do this? So Kiyad D'Tanya, so the Gemara quotes a Braisa. And the Braisa reads, Maisa Umeis Benosho Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli V'nichnas the Beis HaMedrash. So Rechmanus, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli, dies, and he goes to the Beis HaMedrash. So V'nichnas Rabbi Chanin Ben Akavi V'yashav Bitzido. So the way he delivered shir, he was an Avel, but again, he was giving public shirim, so you're allowed to give public shirim when you're an Avel, if you are expected to give public shirim. So, but what he did is he brought in with him Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya. He sat by his side. V'lacha shula Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya. And Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya l'torgaman v'torgaman ishmael rabim. And so instead of speaking directly to the Metorgaman, so he had a middleman between him and the Metorgaman. Okay. You run the risk of playing the game of telephone and losing a little bit now where you are sending it to one who's saying it to another, who's broadcasting it to everybody. But okay. In other words, it has to be done with a shinui while you're an Avel. A couple points I want to make over here. One really small point, which I found to be interesting. You're not allowed to learn Torah when you're an Avel. And if you look at the list of things that you're not allowed to learn, so it says you're not allowed to learn Tanakh, and you're not allowed to learn any form of Torah Shabbat Peh. And if you look at the list that was given to us, it was Mishnah, Medrash, Halachos, Shas. When did you ever see that in the Gemara? The word Shas used in the Gemara. So it should be Talmud, right? And it's not. It's Shas. So what happened over here? So right, it's so interesting. Our Gemara went through a censorship, right? I'm sure everyone here knows. And so anytime the Gemara uses the word Talmud, I don't know if this is always true, but the word Talmud is a censored word. Okay, in other words, for the early popes, I don't know why it was a trigger, but it was. And so they took the word Talmud out and they replaced it. So anyway, that's just an interesting point. Let's go to some of the larger points over here. We have just learned a list of things that a novel is not allowed to do. It's a short list, meaning there should be 13 things mentioned over here, and it's very short of 13. So Tosos is bothered by this question. Third Tosos on our Amud. Eilu dram sha'avol aser behem. So hachalo chashev dram shematzav aleim kagon kfiyas amita v'atifas arosh. Delo chashev elamili de aser behem. Okay, so point number one. So our list over here is only focusing on Isurim, not on Chiyuvim. Okay, so and as we already organized the information earlier, so there are 10 Isurim, 3 Chiyuvim. So over here, knock out the 3 Chiyuvim. For whatever reason, the Gemara here is not going over the Chiyuvim. Don't know why, but so take that out. So we should have a list of 10 things over here, but even then, we're still short of the mark. Tosos goes on to discuss. So, Delo Chashiv Ela Mile De Aser Behen. Sorry. Tfilin V'Sheil Shalom. So obviously, there's no mention of tefillin over here. A novel is not allowed to wear tefillin. Didn't make our list. Also, a novel is not allowed to greet. Didn't make our list. So lo chashiv de'ainz kol yemei ha'ava kadamar lekamen. So Tosfos says because those don't extend for all 7 days of Avelos. Our list over here is only isurim and only those things which extend all 7 days. The wearing of tefillin is a prohibition, but only for day one. Right? Spoiler alert. That's coming up later in today's daf. Also, Sheila Shalom, a difference to be made between the first 3 days and the last 4 days of Avelos. Again, coming up later today. Tachboses, what about laundering? Right, we didn't mention anything about laundering. So Tosfos says lo chashiv dava bechlav rechitza, and that's included in rechitza. Right, bathing and laundering are very similar to one another. Right, Tosfos acknowledges earlier we had two different drashas, but still. When we say rechitza, we include in that tachboses as well. Okay. This next part of Tosos, I'm skipping a little bit in the Tosos. And Tosos deals with an issue which I already raised a number of times. I forgot this Tosos over here, but okay, good. Today's daf, I got to spend more time with today's daf in preparation. So good. So Tosos over here deals with the old question, which I've already asked a number of times, and that is, that as far as obligations are concerned, so two of them just kind of disappeared. Kfiyas Amita, to overturn the bed. We don't do that nowadays. And when I say nowadays, Bizman HaTosos, they weren't doing that. So already now for at least 800 years, we haven't been overturning our bed. And number two is Atifas HaRosh. So to take something and put it over your head. So we don't do that as well. Mm-hmm. Even though there are three obligations. And of the three obligations, so two of them kind of just have disappeared. What happened? So Tosos over here conjectures. So, Uma, okay, so it's about 10 lines down into the Tosos. Uma she'ino aganat alasos atifas arosh v'kfiyas amita, samchina ha'da amrinim v'yerushalmi. So as far as an explanation of why we don't do these practices, so we can now point to a Yerushalmi. What does Yerushalmi say? Achsanai nochai b'kfiyas amita dololemen cherishu. So the Yerushalmi writes that if you are not in your own home, but you're staying in somebody else's home, so don't do kfiyas arosh. Why? Sorry, you see what I just did there? I just mixed the two. So don't do kfiyas amita. Why? Because you will look like a cherish. What does that mean? Tosfos explains, perish mechashef. If you take your bed and you flip it over and you're staying by a hotel, so they're going to think that you're involved in some sort of sorcery. And we just are too embedded amongst the non-Jews. And we start doing some of these weird practices, and they're going to think of us as some sort of sorcery. Another suggestion in terms of why we don't do kfiyas amita, because it's not going to do anything to us. Our beds, and I say our beds, I'm talking bizman HaTosos. Could also talk bizmanaze as well. So what do? We take our bed and we flip it over, and it's going to look the same. Meaning for them, it was clear, it was pronounced when you took a bed and when you flipped it over. For them, it was clear. For us, less so. Ukedarmin lakaman dargish and sarch lekfoso. Ve'od yishle tam liten tam batifas arosh lo hayamevi kiim lides chok inyan atifas yishma'elim. And also, if we do atifas arosh, we're subject to ridicule. Okay. Again, I said this earlier. I'll say it again. Right. These are explanations in terms of why they're gone. The atifas arosh and subject to ridicule. We don't say that in other areas in halacha, right? We take a palm branch and we bring it into our synagogues, and we wave the palm branch, and we're not worried about ridicule over there. So
the goyim have to palm Sunday.
Okay, fine. These are certainly the beginning of a discussion. Like I said this before, I'll say it again. I feel like there's definitely a lot more to the story in terms of why these two things have gone away. But at least Tosos already addresses it, which means number one that this has gone for a long time. Meaning the Kfiyas Amita Atifas Arosh. So we have not been doing it for hundreds and hundreds of years. So Bizmana Gemara they did it. Bizmana Zeh that we don't do it. And at least we know that for at least 800 years we have not been doing it. Okay, so. Gives us a little bit of perspective, historical perspective. And then in terms of why we don't do it, so that's a much more difficult question to ascertain. Already you see Tosos trying to give explanations.
Actually interesting, you know, but Ishmaelim, when you actually put the talus on today, the business, you know, we turn it, flip it all the way around over your head, that's supposed to actually be Atifa.
Correct. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. We are going to go back to the Gemara. Okay, right. I knew that was a long part of today's daf, but good. Some very basic issues to discuss. Tana Rabbanan. So we are halfway down, more than halfway down in the daf. It's the second wide line on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Avel Shloshi Amim Rishonim Asal Neich Tefillin Shlishi VeElach UShlishi BeChlal Motol Neich Tefillin. Okay, it is a strange way to try to say it, but basically, you don't put on tefillin for the first 2 days of your avelus. And from day three and onward, you put on tefillin. Okay, so we're here now discussing the isser of putting on tefillin as an avel. We already learned earlier in our perek that the reason why an avel does not put on tefillin is because of the pasuk in Yechezkel. So Yechezkel was given the instruction, pe'ercha chavush alecha, that you take your pe'er, you take your crown, and chavush alecha, you wear it. Which means that for a normal avel, you're not allowed to wear your tefillin. We also are going to be seeing now, right in this discussion, the Gemara over here, that that's not for all of Avelos, it's only for a portion of Avelos. How much of Avelos? Machlokas, as we're about to see. So right now, the first opinion that we see together is that it's for the first 2 days of Avelos. Now, imba'u panim chadashos. Now, let's say new people come, meaning people that were not at the funeral, people that are making a Shiva visit for the first time. So, eino choletz. So you don't have to take off your tefillin, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning that from day three and onward, where you're putting on your tefillin, so even though somebody knew that came, still you keep your tefillin on from day three and onward. So for the first 2 days, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't put on tefillin. On day three, you do put on tefillin, day three and onward. And even though it's Panim Chadashos, you don't take the tefillin off. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Avel, Shnei Yamim Rishonim Asal Anech Tefillin, Yama Sheni Ve'Elech, So sheni bechlal motel aneich tefillin. Again, an unusual way to phrase it, but but you don't put on tefillin on day one, day two, and onward you put on tefillin. Now im ba'u pan chadashos choletz. Now if somebody comes on day two and panim chadashos and new people, so then what you do is you take off your tefillin. If somebody new comes, so. It's a concern that maybe he'll think to himself, oh, you're wearing tefillin today, and well, maybe you wore tefillin yesterday as well. Okay, why are we concerned about such a concern? I'm not sure, but anyway, according to the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua, so under those circumstances, so you are going to be taking off the tefillin on day two. Okay, so...
Because they were wearing them all day.
Yeah. Correct. So we have a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, and really the machlokas is twofold. One, so how long is the issur of hanachas tefillin for an avel? Is it 2 days or 1 day? So Rabbi Eliezer says 2 days, Rabbi Yeshua says 1 day. And number two, panim chadashos. Do you take off your tefillin for panim chadashos? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you do not. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, you do. But even according to Rabbi Yeshua, that's only on day two. Okay. Now, with that stated, I'm Rav Masta, my time of the Rabbi Lazar. So first of all, a little bit of svara. So what's the reason behind Shitas Rabbi Lazar? Dichsiv, v'yitam yemei bechi, evel Moshe. So the yemei bechi. Now, if you look at the pasuk in context, so you'll see that the yemei bechi for Moshe is 30 days. So the idea over here that the Gemara is understanding the word yemei as two, admittedly is taking the pasuk a little bit out of context, but okay. So I'm Ravina, my time to Rabbi Yoshua. Oh, so fine. So Yemei is Rabim, is Lashon Rabim. Again, we always assume that we're going to take the smallest amount of Rabim, which is two. Okay, so that's how we get to the number two. Now, my time to Rabbi Yoshua, Dichsiv, Achriyasa Ki Omar, Pasuk and Amos, which we described earlier, we quoted earlier, which is that the most bitter day of Avelis is day one. So for that day, so you are now in a state in which it's just simply not appropriate to put on tefillin. So the Yisr tefillin is only for day one. So Rabbi Yeshua, Nami Haksi V'yitam Yemei. So now, again, the back and forth over here. What is Rabbi Yeshua going to do with the words Yemei? So I'm Lecha, Shani Moshe, D'takif Evlei. So we can just simply say that Moshe is an outlier. So the Avelis of Moshe is intense. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rabbi Lazar, Nami Haksi V'achriyasa Ki Yomar. So Ikor Meri Rechad Yomahu. So as far as Rabbi Lazar is concerned, so yeah, so the Pasuk in Amos does describe day one as being most intense. Fine. So day number one is most intense. But in terms of the Yisr putting on tefillin, the Yisr putting on tefillin is for 2 days. Amar ul alacha ka Rabbi Lazar bechalitza, v'alacha ka Rabbi Yeshua ba'anacha. So, Ula gives us now psak halacha. And that is that as far as taking off your tefillin is concerned, we're gonna pass like Rabbi Lazar, which means that panim chadashos comes from day three and onward. You do not need to take off your tefillin. And we're going to be passing like Rabbi Yoshua, which means that you're going to be putting on your tefillin on day two. Meaning, the Isser of Hanachas tefillin is only for day one, not for day two. Okay, so you take the Psak of Ula, and you end off with a little bit of a question, which the Gemara is about to ask, which is, on day two, I'm going to put on tefillin. What if Panim Chadashos come on day two? So on day three already, I know, according to Ula, you don't take them off. But on day two, so he passing like Rabbi Yoshua that you put the tefillin on, but he also passing like Rabbi Eliezer by Chalitza, but Rabbi Eliezer is only addressing day three and onward. So on day two, you put on your tefillin, but now Panim Chadash has come. What do you do then? Gemara's question. Ibailahu, b'sheni, so le'ula, cholitz oino cholitz. So that's exactly the question. So on day two, I'm going to put on tefillin according to Ula's psak, but Panim Chadashos have come. Do I have to take it off on day two? So Tashma, Amar Ula, Cholet Maniya Chafila Mea Pa'amim. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear the question, but I also know the answer. And that is, Ula says really clearly that on day two, you take it off, even if it means 100 times. Panim Chadashos come again and again on day two, so you take off your tefillin. Atayin Amihachi, Yehuda Mentema, Omer, Cholet Maniya Chafila Mea Pa'amim. Okay, and we have a Brisa supporting this as well. Rav Amar came and Shiniach Shuvin Acholetz, and Rav disagrees. He says, no, once there's no longer an Isser of Hanachas Tefillin, meaning from day two and onward, once you're allowed to put on Tefillin, and when we say allowed, meaning now it's a mitzvah, so at that point in time, you keep the Tefillin on. I panim chadashos akam, even if it's day two, you keep the Tefillin on. That's the Psak of Rava. So Amachlokis Amorayim, on day two, when you do put on Tefillin, whether or not you take them off for panim chadashos, Ula says you do take them off, and Rava says you keep them on. So Rava da Amar halacha katani didan. So the Gemara notes, however, that according to Rava, the halacha is in fact like our Mishnah, da Amar shlosha. Now, in terms of what are the most intense days of Avelis, it's the first 3 days. Now, which Mishnah is it referring to? So the Mishnah we saw already a number of days ago. The Mishnah that taught us that you have to observe 3 days of Avelis, then and only then is Yontif going to go ahead and break your Avelis. Because the first three days of the Avelis are the most intense. So didn't Rava say that? Now, by the way, we don't paskin like that statement of Rava, meaning going back to what we learned earlier in our perek, meaning even if you observe 1 day of Avelis, even if it's 1 hour of Avelis, so Yontif is going to go ahead and break it. But the Gemara is asking within the sheet of Rava, how can you, Rava, tell me that you put on tefillin on day two, and on top of that, you also don't take them off for panim chadashos, and meanwhile, you, Rava, are of the position that the most intense days of Avel, so the first 3 days, that seems to be incongruous. So mitzvah shani. So the Gemara gives a really simple answer, and that is that it's not incongruous. The first 3 days of Avel are the most intense, but the putting on a tefillin is a mitzvah. So you have now, you have two powerful forces. One is the intensification of Avelis. Number two is the mitzvah to put on tefillin. So as you have this tension between these two forces, and so Rav is basically saying, I think the first 3 days are intense Avelis, but I also know that putting tefillin on is a mitzvah. So on day two already, you have the koach ha-mitzvah is going to tell you to put on tefillin. Okay. Tan Rabbanan. Yeah. So Tan Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes a brisa. We're on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Avel Shoshi Yamim Rishon Maaser B'Melacha. Afilu Ani Amesparnes Min Hatzdaka. So for the first 3 days of Avel, so as far as the Isser Melacha is concerned, it is an absolute Isser. And even if you really need to work daily in order to make a living, but you must take off those first 3 days of Avelos. Even if it means that you're going to have to be collecting from the Pushka, okay. And then Mikan ve'elech ose b'tzina b'soch beso. Now, from day four and onward, for the last 4 days of Avelos, so if you are in desperate need of money and you need to work, so you may work, but only b'soch beso out of your house. And isha tova b'plach b'soch besa. A woman while she's in Avel, so she can go ahead and she could spin. Again, we're talking about a woman who is in desperate need of parnasa, so she can do so again privately in her own home. Tan Rabbanan Avel Shoshim Rishonim Eino Holach Besa Avel. So when you're in Avel, so you need to be sitting Shiva in your home. And for most everything, you should not be exiting, you should not be leaving your home. However, and for the first 3 days, even if it means to do the mitzvah of being Menachem another Avel, for the first 3 days, you should not be leaving your home. However, Mikan ve'elech, but for the last 4 days of Avelos, so holech, so if there's another Avel in the community, and you want to pay a Shiva visit to the other Avel, and you're in your Avelos here in the last 4 days, you may go to the house of the other Avel. Now here comes an interesting question, where do you sit? So you're in Avel visiting another Avel, and you have a heter to do so because it's the last 4 days of your Avelos, so where do you sit? Eino yoshev bimkom ha-menachamim, Ella become hamisnachmim. So you are now there serving a dual role. You yourself are observing Avelus, but you're also visiting somebody else observing Avelus. So you sit amongst the Avelim. So even though you're trying to provide nechama for somebody else, but at the same time you're an Avel yourself, so you sit amongst the Avelim. Tan Rabbanan Avel Shoshi Yamim Rishonim, also Shela Shalom. Okay, we are going to now discuss the Isser of Shela Shalom. We won't get that far as we are approaching the end of Shir today, but at least let's begin the discussion. So for the first 3 days, no Sheila Shalom. You cannot extend anybody a Shalom Aleichem. So Mishosh Vashiva Meshiv. Now from 3 to 7, so you can respond. Meaning if someone extends a Shalom Aleichem to you, so you can also respond. Ve'eno Shoel. But from days 3 through 7, you cannot initiate. And Mikan Ve'elech Shalom Meshiv Kedarko. And then from 7 and onward, so what you could do is kedarko. In other words, you can converse, not just converse, but extend a shalom aleichem to anybody. Okay. So we have now compartmentalized the halachas of she'el shalom into three categories. From the beginning of Avelos to day 3, from day 4 through day 7, and from day 7 and onward. From day 8 and onward. So now with this compartmentalization of the three categories, the Gemara is going to challenge or inquire in terms of any one of these three categories. Ve'atanya. So the Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Akiva where he lost sons, which in of itself is, right? Terrible daf today in terms of the number of Tanaim Amorim that we saw that lost children. Grandchildren today's daf. So Rabbi Akiva lost sons. So v'nichnasu kol Yisrael v'ispindim hesped gadol, and a tremendous hesped b'shas p'tir asan. Now, as they were leaving Rabbi Akiva, so Amar Rabbi Akiva al safsal gadol v'amar. So he stood on the bench and he addressed the crowd. Achen beis Yisrael shimu afilu shnei banim chasanim menucham hu B'shul HaKavod She'asisem. So he says, even if my sons were married, so which would have made the tragedy even greater. Okay. So, but still, you provided tremendous cover for me. And the image will Akiva about them. Now, if you just came because I was Akiva, so hare kama Akiva b'shok. There's a lot of us out there. And Ella, kach amartem Torah salokav b'libo. But the reason why everybody came is because of the Torah that I represent. So really, it was not a cover to my children. It wasn't even a cover to me. It was a cover to Torah. V'chol shekein sheskartem kaful. So, and for that, now you should be rewarded, doubly rewarded. L'chul levatechem l'shalom. And so he wished everyone a shalom aleichem. So he gave them a greeting, and not only greeted them, but he greeted them with the shalom. And we're talking now about the first, we're talking about the first day of Avelus. So covered rabbim shani. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's a covered rabbim. And so that puts itself in its own category, and under those circumstances, it would in fact be acceptable. Okay, so that was a discussion of the days 1 through 3. Okay, so what we have left to do, we're going to pause over here, is we're going to be discussing Shalom Aleichem from days 4 through 7, and then we're going to continue and discuss the Shalom Aleichem from day 7 and onward. Okay, and that'll come up over the course. Let's quickly recap and review our daf today. We covered a lot of information regarding Hilchos Avelos, and there was a lot to digest and absorb over the course of today's daf. Number one, the list of Avelim, or the list of Krovim, I should say, in which a person is going to be misabel for. So we gave the list of 7. We made the connection between the 7 in which a Kohen is in fact metame for, and those who you're going to be sitting shiva for. Additional to that, siblings of the Chachamim added, because the Torah was only addressing a paternal sibling, and the Chachamim added a maternal sibling, and even if it's a sister who was married, the Chachamim added that to the list as well. One step removed. Let's say your direct relative is now an avel for having lost a relative of his or hers. So are you misabel? Machlokas Tanayim. Gemara's conclusion is that bi'apav, you should be observing avelus, but shalom b'apav, but if you're not directly in their presence, so then not. And then a side discussion of that is, what about one's spouse? In other words, is there a chiyuv to be observing avelus when your spouse is in an avel? Answer of the Gemara, depends. If they lost a parent, so then als covered of one's spouse, you should be an avel. But if it's any of the other krovim, so then no. That takes us all the way to the bottom of Chaf Amud Beis, where there we discussed a little bit about the mitzvah of kriya. Really, in terms of the amount that we discussed, very little. We just discussed the halacha that you have to be standing while doing kriya. Okay, so this idea of standing of doing kriya. So where do we know that from? Psukim in Eov and Psukim in Shmuel Beis regarding David HaMelech. Okay, a list of things that an avel is prohibited to do, right in the middle of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Gemara gave us a list, as Tosas pointed out. It's not an exhaustive list. It wasn't talking about the chiyuvim. It was only talking about the yisurim. And even as the yisurim are concerned, it didn't cover everything. Tosos tried to address that very point. Giving a public shiur. If the public are expecting you to give shiur, and you're an avel, so you're allowed to give a public shiur, although the Gemara says that you need to do it b'derech shinui. Okay, tefillin. Big part of today's daf. We talked about the mitzvah of tefillin for an avel. An avel's not allowed to wear tefillin, but that's only for a limited time of his avelos. How limited? So a machlokus amongst the Tanayim, and ultimately a machlokus amongst the Amoraim in terms of how to practice. From the Gemara's conclusion, obviously, in terms of halach lamaisa, you will speak to your Rav. But in terms of the Gemara's conclusion, so the Isra Anachas Tefillin is for day 1. From day 2 and onward, you put on Tefillin. If there's Panim Chadashos, a discussion in the Gemara, machlokus Amoraim, whether or not you're going to be choletz on day number 2, it sounds like from the Gemara's conclusion that you are not going to be choletz on day number 2, although admittedly it's a machlokus between Rav and Ula. So Gemara really wasn't conclusive on that issue. And the Isser Malacha. So even if you're Ani Misparnes, so you cannot do Malachas from days 1 through 3 of Avelus. Day 4 through 7 you could do Malacha, but only Besinah, and only if you are in desperate need. Penultimate thing that we discussed was an Avel going and leaving his home to visit another Avel. From day 1 through 3, no. And from day 4 through 7, yes. It's just a question of where he's going to be sitting in the other Beis Aval. And the last thing we discussed is She'ila Shalom, where once again, from days 1 through 3, no Shalom, not even responding. From day 4 through 7, Hashava, response. And from 7 and onward, you can even extend She'ila Shalom. Okay, and right now we're in the middle of that discussion.